Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, I'm back from Florida, and Chaim's bugging me, as always, to do a yard site talk, a short one. And the problem is, usually I rely on the Gabbai of my show, Seth Moshman, to announce whose yard site is that week, but I was in Florida this past week, so I wasn't there. I don't know who it is. So I came back, and I asked Chaim, so whose famous yard site is it this week? And he gave me a bunch of Hasidic names, and I said, that's not for me. The Hasidic tales is a different story. But I did a little bit of work, and I see that tomorrow, Wednesday, is the yard site of none other than Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the famous Yisrael Salanter. There's somebody you can talk for 10 hours about. And so maybe I'll do 10 minutes. Yisrael Salanter, everybody will know, was a big rabbi in Lithuania in the 1800s, 1810, 1883. And they call him the founder of the Musar movement. But that simply means that he was as much a critic of the what we would call today Haredi society as many others were, especially the yeshiva world, in the sense of people being into Bein Olam L'Malkum, not so much between Bein Olam L'Chavero, and you have to be glot yosher, not only glot kosher, everything that goes along with those ideas. And there are hundreds of stories. And believe me, I'm tempted to sit here and talk for an hour and a half, but I'm not going to do that. We all perhaps know a little bit about Yisrael Salanter, but I would bring it out in the following way. Again, I'm skipping all the biographical details. If you want to, you can go online and find all that stuff out. It's very interesting. And he was a very unusual person. And he's the one who put the Mesillas Yesharim on the map. Until then, it was just a book. And he's the one who made like the Bible of a lot of people. And properly so. And if you read the Mesillas Yesharim, you'll see that he talks about what it takes to be a chassid. Not a chassid with the stram and the kapot, all that business. What it takes to be a real chassid. And it's clear that Yisrael Salanter really tried to follow that in a rigorous way. And you find that in his career, if you can call it a career, he really is famous for trying to put all those ideas into actual action. For example, Mesillas Yesharim makes a big deal about a chassid. The real chassid wants to go lifting Mishuras Adin, of course. You understand? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. This is Mesillas Yesharim says. There's a chassid and a parish, and they're both the same thing. A chassid goes beyond what's required in terms of doing mitzvahs. That is to say, I don't have to, daven this long or whatever, and I decide I'm going to. I don't have to do this and this many mitzvahs, and I want to even more than what's required. And that's a chassid. And a parish is somebody who does it in the abstaining sense. So a person who says, I'm really allowed to eat from this and this type of food, but I'm going to refrain from doing it, be extra, extra heavy on the kashrus. These ideas being more machmir than is required, that's called a parish. And he tried to be a chassid and a parish. And one of the big problems with that, the Mesillas Yesharim says, is you have to have something called Mishkal HaChassidus. You have to know when to hold them, when to fold them, which means whenever you encounter a situation involving whether you do a mitzvah or refrain from doing something wrong or anything like that, you have to play chess. You have to think 2-3 steps ahead. For example, if I go ahead and do this and this mitzvah, will that lead to a positive result or lead to a negative result? I'll give just one example. I mean, this is simple stuff. Suppose I want to get an aliyah, and somebody else wants to get an aliyah. And so getting an aliyah is a good thing. It's a big mitzvah. But on the other hand, it'll hurt the other guy's feeling. Let him have the aliyah. You know, you ask yourself, what does God want? God says, like, it's in this situation, since the other guy wants it, let him have it. It's very famous, for example, Charles Salanter had cottage for his father. It's a very well-known story. And there was some beggar who had cottage for his father. And he said, let the other guy have it, big deal, you know. And they, in fact, the other guy was only for a brother or whatever. And so if you want to go to pecking order, the one who has the yardstick for the father goes first, you know, math and science approach. And he said, let the other person do it. My father will have a bigger nachas ruach in heaven if this guy gets to, get, you know, gets to recite the Kaddish. You know, that kind of whole approach in which you try to put people first and think, what would God want you to do in this particular type of situation? It is very interesting. And all the stories you hear, or I should say many stories you hear, Bisrael Salanter, which have become famous, are along these lines. It springs to mind, for example, the famous story we all know. He was on his way to Davin on Yom Kippur, and then he heard a baby crying, and people forgot to left it. It's like Home Alone, you know, they left the baby alone. And so he says, it's more important to take care of the baby than to go, say, Davin, Yom Kippur, and Shul. Or here's a very famous one that I always liked. There's some rich guy that he passed through in the town, and Rosh Hashanah, he said, come stay by me for Shabbos, and it'll be a big deal. And, you know, and I know you are very into, you know, very careful about kashrus, and I have the kashrus, because you heard of this famous sheikhet, who was renowned throughout the region for kashrus. Well, he passed away, and his wife is my cook, my employer is the cook. So the food over here is going to be the most kosher thing you can get anywhere. And she's the one who runs the whole meals on Friday night. And Yisrael Salanter said, in that case, I accept. And of course, the famous story is, he came to the guy's house, and Friday night he said, let's skip Shalom Aleichem, let's skip Eishes Chayil. He made a quick kiddush. The guy was astonished. He ate the meal, one, two, three, finished the whole meal like in 30 minutes. And they couldn't understand what's going on. And then he went into the kitchen to the lady who was an almana, and he said, now you go home and spend time Shabbos with your family. It's more important to do that than to sing long zemiras and so forth at someone else's cheshbon. That kind of approach in general is what he's very famous for. I, as I said before, I don't want to spend a long time about this, but a lot of stories of Yisrael Salanter are not so politically correct. That's what makes it so interesting. Anyway, I'm going to share with you one tale that I have from a sefer I like, the Novartikers, or somebody put it out after the Second World War. And these are from the inner circle of the people who saw this. And it goes to show you, it was a little bit out of the box. And as I said, if you want more, I could do a series on just on Yisrael Salanter. I mean, he's such an interesting person and a big tzaddik. But I'll just read you this one story and give you food for thought. Pam Echer Lovo Lashir, I'll read it in English. One time he was coming, you know, there was a period in his life when he was a Maggid Shir in Vilna. And the yeshiva was on the other side of the river. So he lived on one side of the river, and the yeshiva was on the other side of the river, and he used to cross the bridge. And so he came late, or let's put it this way, he didn't show up in time, and he was usually famous for being very punctual. And they got scared, where is he? And they went looking for him. Kishigila Gesha Yad Azri. So when they came to the bridge over the river, they saw he's at the bottom, not on the bridge, but at the bottom near the water, actually, talking to this girl, to this lady, closely, you know. Omen al spas ha anachal umagalgil sicho im isha tzira. He's having an intimate conversation with a young lady. Hey, mevinu dvar magav. Of course, they understood something unusual is happening. And they left. But there was always bothering him. What's going on? It doesn't make any sense. He's obviously not having an assignation. So what's going on? And they investigated, and they found out the following. The story is that as he was heading towards the yeshiva to give his shir and about to cross the bridge, he saw a young lady running excitedly down the riverbank towards the river. And he was troubled by this. He grabbed her. He said, why are you running? She tried to wiggle free of him. Can you imagine this scene? And she answered, let me go, she said. I want to go on my way. Let me go. Yisrael tafas biyada v'chazer abakashazer shetesaper l'makrolo. He held on to her. He wouldn't let her go. And he said, tell me what's happening. So imagine if you walked by and saw this scene. Hoisha netzval karcha, since she was stuck and she couldn't move because he wouldn't let go of her. Hizchil l'chanas ponav esmi sicha v'yag l'mbu. So she started to tell her tale of woe. L'fneiz man katzar cholushnei yodeb meshech shan mechon mesu. She had two kids, they got sick, and they both died within days of each other. Baal Nafal Mishkum Rov Agma, her husband, collapsed with a depression as a result of this terrible tragedy. And for several weeks now, he's not able to work. The husband was a balagola, you know, wagon driver. And so in order just to make parnosa, they hired a worker to take his place and ride the wagon that they owned, the wagon and the horse. And the idea is they'll pay him wages, but the extra profit is what they live on, even though it was very minimal. With the small, modest profits, they'll try to put bread on the table and try to get medicine for the husband. And then, then the horse dropped dead. And they have no source of income, period. They're looking at a disaster. This is years ago, 19th century. There's no unemployment, sure, no social security, no welfare, nothing like that. In that state of mind, she said, the heck with it, and she's going to throw herself and drown herself in the river. And he was smart enough to see that. So he engaged her in a long conversation. He started talking to her for an hour to try to calm her down. He tried to explain to her, talking very nicely, because he knew her state of mind. Baruch nefesh. Don't give up. Don't let it go. God can always fill up your needs, meaning Hashem can supply what you need. Your life is not over. Odeni shetzirab, you're still young. You can have another child. But Kohen v'Kohen talked along these lines for a long time with her. You can imagine what emotional state she was in. Baal Yashle Sona, your husband one day will get better. Biyamsha Baba Doso, and he'll go back to work. Don't worry, it's not over. Umasha Nagel Vesus, and the fact you lost a horse, which is your parnosa. I will buy you a horse. I'll raise the money today, and tomorrow I'll get you the money. You'll buy another horse. That's all. You go back to business. And after all this conversation, she calmed down. She went back to normal, and she gave up her desperate plans to kill herself. She thanked him very much for being a nice guy and occupying himself with her situation. And a year later, this always sounds like a Hasidic tale, but it's true. Kavor Shana Kibbol Rabbi Yisrael Hazman L'shtata B'chagigis Bris Nashinola. A year later, he got invited to the Bris, to be the Sandik, by the Bris of this lady for the next child. Now, go tell this story today. Good luck. But anyway, I could sit here for a very long time, but my point in these is not to go very long. So, this is a most unusual tzaddik whose yard sale is tomorrow. I invite you all, I mean this sincerely, to go look it up. And you'll be amazed, I think, at what you'll find probably online or in books or anywhere else. Have a good day.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.